Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Thomas Wenström and I'm at the Red Herring ETRI conference here in Stockholm. At the conference is also Tim Draper at the VC firm Draper Fisher Jurvetson. And I asked him how he thinks a startup should react to the current credit crunch.
Well, I think a startup should just do what they're doing. I think you keep pounding away, you keep your head down. If you have a vision of the future and you have something that you really want to go after, I would go after it and not let some bank failures get in your way.
I think you might need to raise money, etc.
Yeah, and there will be money around to invest. I know Draper Fisher Jurvetson is well stocked, and we're happy to be looking at new startups. Wherever they are. I mean, we have this great network of venture capitalists all around the world, so we can certainly make an investment here in Sweden.
So the current crisis won't have any larger effects?
Well, it might. I mean, I think the valuations that venture capitalists are going to pay are going to be lower than they were historically, because there are certain risks that weren't there before. The risk of lack of an IPO market right now, and that was one of our main sources of liquidity. But I think that will come back around. It's just that the prices that are going to be paid for startups are going to be lower because of that, because of the shortage of liquidity through the banking industry. But I think we are in a very interesting time. And when there's this kind of a change, a great entrepreneur thrives because they see this as an opportunity to, they might have to change their original plans, but they can make a company that's much greater than they were thinking of doing before, just if they use their foresight to predict what the next 5 years is going to hold. If you build great companies and you just focus on the future, it's always the best thing to do. Whenever you make a decision, make the long-term decision. Don't make the short-term decision. If something is convenient for you, it's probably not the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is something that is not necessarily convenient or helpful in the short term, but might end up helping your business in a big way in the long term.
What do you mean by that?
Well, those are decisions that startups make all the time. They might make a decision where they make a deal with some big company and they might sacrifice, in order to get cash in the bank today, they're sometimes sacrificing their whole big vision of their future. What you really want to do is think in terms of becoming one of those companies that lives 60 years.
You've been coined the father of viral marketing.
Yeah, I came up with it. What I did was I was in a Hotmail meeting, and they had created web-based email. And that was really an extraordinary occurrence. And I asked them, well, how are you going to market this thing? And they said, well, we'll do radio and billboards. And I thought, oh, boy, that's going to be expensive. And being a financier, I was trying to come up with something else. And I remembered a business school case on Tupperware where the ladies, every customer became a salesperson for the product, and then they would sell to another group, another customer, and that customer would also become a salesperson for the product. And I thought, well, if you send out a free email to somebody, it wouldn't be so bad to put a little message at the bottom of everybody's screen. I wanted to make sure that it was technologically possible. And fortunately, the engineer there, Jack Smith, said, yes, it's possible. And so we came up with the idea of having a permanent message that spread all the way around, an implicit endorsement with every single email that would go out. And it spread the product like wild and went from zero, effectively, to 11 million users in 18 months. And without any marketing, zero marketing dollars. It was a lot of marketing. I mean, a lot of thought went into marketing, but zero marketing dollars. And one email went to a friend of the founder, Sabir Bhatia, in India. And within 3 weeks, he had 100,000 registered Hotmail users in India. And that was extraordinary. No product had penetrated India that quickly. And so we were really onto something. And that was the beginning of viral marketing. And we then decided to apply it to every one of our companies whenever we possibly could, because it was the most efficient type of marketing in the world. Still is.
So you've been investing in Skype, for example, an example of viral marketing?
Yeah, Skype was well aware of the Hotmail case, and that team did a lot to use viral marketing. I mean, those are two of the greatest entrepreneurs ever.
Since we are in Sweden, then, what made you invest in Skype?
I was very, very impressed with the entrepreneur. Niklas Zennström is really an extraordinary guy, and he had a very clear way of presenting his company. He was very calm, and people would naturally want to associate with him and attach themselves to him. He is, and I felt that. I felt that real special confidence. I also have had a real interest in the peer-to-peer technology. I thought that, it was first applied to file sharing, and then it got into trouble with the music industry. But after that, I knew that that had the capability of doing really extraordinary things. And we have funded a couple of different companies that have applied file sharing to other applications. One was supply chain management, and that did not work out. And then these guys, and Niklas first came to me with a different plan, and it was a great plan, I said, sure, sounds great. And then he called me up and he said, well, we've changed the plan.
So what was the first plan?
Well, the first plan I sworn to secrecy on, because he might actually do it sometime. So,
right.
But this was actually a faster way to get into the market and a great way to spread a product. And I mean, actually, the idea of doing voice over IP had been around a long time, but peer-to-peer voice over IP was extraordinary.
So why did Skype succeed?
I give Niklas and Giannis all the credit in the world for that. I'm sure I helped out some on the board. I did push some things. Viral marketing was one of them. But they were well on their way. They knew just where they were headed. And I was so excited by it. It was really my favorite board that I had ever been on. So I'm hoping, another Swede out there. Come on, we're looking for great Swedes that can do what Niklas did. And I think that you could actually create a company that's even bigger than Skype, better than any of the companies that have been out there. You can create something bigger than Google if you come up with something, because there are more internet connections now. There are more cell phone connections. People, new products, new ideas can proliferate around the world much faster than ever before.
What are you looking for when you meet entrepreneurs? What makes you write that check?
Well, I like enthusiasm for their vision. That carries you a long way. I like very quiet confidence about what they're doing. I like that feeling that they know exactly where they're headed. They have taken all the steps they need to take, and this will just be another step for them. I like to test. I don't like it when they feel they know everything, because they don't, and none of us do. And the business will be affected by a lot of externalities, and you've got to be on top of it. You've got to have a sense that if something hits you from the side, that you can recreate and regenerate your business. You've got to be highly creative to start a business in the first place. But you also have to be resilient and perseverant and all those great things. So we're looking for a lot of things.
If you look into the future a few years, in your speech you mentioned a number of things that will happen. If you would pick one or two, what are the biggest changes we will face?
I think the Riva electric car is going to change a lot of lives. It's very efficient. Actually, the new one accelerates like crazy. It's a low-cost electric car, and I think that's going to have a big impact on the world. As I drove by, we were in this Riva this last week, and we drove by a gas station, and I looked and I thought, that is a dinosaur. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also very excited about the possibility for safe, effective nuclear power. I think that's going to be really a great force for energy in the United States in the future, and I'm certain it will be here too. I think you already have some nuclear power here.
Yeah, yeah. On your list, you put near-fault communication.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting because you will have communication that is almost instantaneous. Way down the road, I could see, you know, as these computers get smaller and smaller, they're going to be more and more an integral part of us. You wear them on your clothes, you'll have them on your, you know, on your glasses. Some people may even have them implanted in their eyes. I think we're going to have all that intelligence closer and closer to us and all that communication closer and closer to us so that it is, it's all instantaneous. I mean, the cell phone is almost magic. One great way to look at things is, how can I change this old staid industry? How can I make this work much better for the consumer? If that's what you really have in mind, you can actually make incredible things happen in your life. Go after something that's big and stagnant and has been that way for a long time. Maybe it's a monopoly, maybe it's a government, maybe it's a way that people do things. And you look at it and look at it in a different way and see if you can come up with a better way of doing it. It's a great exercise, mind exercise anyway.
I'm just going to keep you for one more minute. You mentioned in your talk that you sent your DNA out in space.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think there's a story that needs to be told here.
No, it was an entrepreneur, and he came to me and he said, I'm putting, you know, some of the big celebrities or forward thinkers DNA into space in hopes that maybe something happens, you know, maybe that space aliens find it and can reproduce you. Maybe.
So is this thing orbiting around Earth, or is just...
No, it's out. It's gone. It's in space. We don't know where it is. Might be in another planet, but it's probably not for years. but it's that's the idea. They shot these things into space and littered space with my DNA. But I think I thought it was a really fun thing that they were doing, and then maybe we or some other alien species learn something from it someday.
All right, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.